This is The Producers, a podcast. The biggest names in audio production, station sound, radio imaging, branding, and voiceover. Interviews, tips, tricks, advice. To be a part of the show, visit RyanOnTheRadio.com. Now, The Producers with Ryan Dreen.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to The Producers Podcast, episode 52. I think I've mentioned this in the past, but I've never, ever successfully recorded an intro for a podcast once. I've always had to redo it at least once. This is take two. I'm just going to go ahead and mark them and let you guys know how much of an idiot I am or how terrible I am at recording these things. Okay, so today, a big episode, and actually it's been in the can for a little bit, waiting on some cool content from the guys with Splice. Finally have that, so don't forget to check out the free stuff on the website, RyanOnTheRadio.com, in case you're getting this podcast somewhere else, RyanOnTheRadio.com, and just, I bet, search for Splice. That should bring it right up. There should be a link there, an explanation on how to go get free video stuff. Terry Phillips, guy I've mentioned in the past. I work with him on 360 Country at TM Studios Dallas. He's the imaging director of WYCD also. Anyway, we'll get into more about who they are as the interview comes on. I'm trying to keep these intros short. Drake Donovan, the other guy who I'm interviewing. So two at a time, a three-way, if you will. Whatever. And make your jokes. We're talking about their brand new service. It's Splice Video for Radio. Again, we'll get into all the details on it, but it looks really cool. These guys are very talented. And I do have to say, they explain stuff about video as if you're a five-year-old, and that's about the knowledge level I have with video. So it worked out real nice. It was really informative to me. Upcoming on the podcast, before we dive right into this episode, I can tell you three different names that I will be interviewing very soon. In fact, two of them may come within the next couple weeks. But I'm recording this on Tuesday. I'm recording this Tuesday, the 11th of December. On Monday, less than a week from now, I'm going to talk to James Harness. He is the imaging director of Kiss FM Los Angeles. Yes, the new guy, the one somebody had to take over for Kelly. James is the guy. Really excited to hear from him. I've actually been a fan of his work for a long time. We've emailed back and forth a few times. And, you know, been looking to work something out. And this just seemed like a perfect time to get him on the podcast. So I bumped him right up the list, and we'll hear about, you know, what he's done in the past. He's done a lot of fun, super creative stuff. But obviously the new job, a job like imaging director at Kiss Los Angeles opens up, and that's, you know, it happens once a decade or so. So anyway, this will actually be the third person I've interviewed that images Kiss in Los Angeles. So looking forward to that. James Harness. Also mentioned John Carter, a guy who I respect highly in the voiceover world, just because he has that, you know, a quality voice. He's on a ton of radio stations, imaging wise. He's been requested. But he's sort of the new sound, you know, he's not pukey old school radio guy. So I like to listen to guys like that when I'm trying to, you know, fine tune my sound and see what I like and see kind of where I want to go. And I definitely like what John Carter does. Megahertz Studios is his entire company, and he's a great production guy. Commercial VO as well, just really outstanding. And then another big one, I just locked this one in today. We're going to talk after the first of the year. And I guess there's a chance some people have never heard of him. Most of you should have heard of Steve Pygott. I will talk to him, someone I've been looking forward to speaking with for quite a while. And it was just sort of things never worked out for me to reach out at the right time. And he hasn't really done any interviews. He told me he hasn't done interviews for years and years. He was sort of getting inundated, and I just don't think he liked it. But I'm pulling him out of his media blackout, and we're going to do that one coming up in January. So obviously he's a guy who was at Kiss 100. Then he was at Pure Tonic in London, or I think he part owner, if not the owner, managing director. Anyway, then he was brought to Real World in America to be, I believe, not only the CEO, but a co-owner. And then sort of abruptly, a couple few months ago, it was like, Steve Pygott leaves Real World. And I'd never really heard a good explanation, and nothing that wasn't hearsay. So I'm looking forward to hear a little more about that story and see what Steve has going on now. And he says he's got a few big things in the works for the new year. So that'll be a very exciting big-time interview on the podcast. I'll tell you, and let me point out one other post that I made that had a huge amount of buzz this week. Jordana Klein, only because it was the last episode, Eddie Bauer brought her up. She's up there at Virgin in Toronto. I decided I didn't want to waste any time. I didn't want to do a full podcast interview with her yet. I don't think she's there yet. She's only like 7 years old. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I did do a 9.5 question segment with her. Very smart girl, very talented producer, but I love her voiceover styling side. Did I say that twice already? That's dumb. Anyway, I like the way she sounds. So check her out. 9.5 questions, Jordana Klein of Virgin Toronto. And that's all I got for now. Okay, anything else I'll wrap up at the end of part two. Let's start with some demo audio provided by the guys at Splice.
Introducing Splice. Ancient Egyptians used hieroglyphics on papyrus and wood to communicate their messages.
So let it be written.
In medieval times, town criers, using only their voices, distributed news to the masses.
Bring out today!
Today, radio, TV, billboards, smartphones, and the internet all broadcast shiny things for us to buy, do, and eat. But just like everything else, to meet its full potential, radio, too, must advertise.
Splice is radio's solution.
Breaking down the barrier between your station
and world-class television spots.
Produced in full HD.
Splice includes a fully produced television commercial.
HD and broadcast ready.
A specialized toolkit updated every month,
bringing your video to the next level. Along with NTR ideas to bring the revenue.
Increase queue.
Increase share.
Increase page views.
Increase unique visitors.
Increase cash flow.
Splice. Now available via barter.
And distributed exclusively by Grooveworks.
Ryan and the radio listeners, log on for free downloads. Prodsquad.com.
And we have a special podcast today. This one, actually, I've been trying to get going for a few weeks now. Terry Phillips, Drake Donovan, two guys who I highly respect, and we've got them both at the same time. Men, thanks for joining me.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Welcome. Pleasure to be here.
So this is going to be cool because we're going to put extra focus on something I haven't talked about a ton on this podcast, which is a little sad, just seeing as how the industry has been going with the multimedia, web-based, everything has to have video. So we're going to talk about a new service that you guys have launched, which we just heard about in the opening audio there, Splice, video for radio. So let's give everybody just a quick couple bullet points on what it is, but then I'm going to dive back into each of your background, and we're going to learn the dirty details on who each of you are. But first, I guess one of you, just tell me a couple bullet points about what exactly Splice does.
Well, the long and the short of it is the video for radio is a kind of a quaint, easy way to put it, but it's true. Everything from TV commercials to Drake kind of coined the term video sweepers. The lower third pop-ups with the jock's name, the transitions that look sexy like TV stations and cable networks with the logo of your station opens, closes. And the TV commercial that we all can't afford anymore in an affordable, bartable, trade-outable package.
Yeah, I like to think of it as like an imaging package with actual images, basically to brand your station-generated video content. And then the added bonus, as Terry pointed out, TV spots so you can extend your brand beyond your speakers.
So give them the website so people can be perusing what you guys have while they listen to this interview.
Well, there's two places you can get it. Grooveworks, our exclusive distributor, has a great site set up with all the information.
It's grooveworks.com/splice.
And then prodsquad.com is our client hub, which also holds the demos as well on there.
Cool. So if people want to go investigate a little more while we chat, they can do that. And we'll, of course, give all this information at the end again as well. You guys, obviously, you had me when I saw this. I mean, it didn't seem like it took you that long because you guys are pretty good at this, but you made that intro for me. I thought it was awesome. So you've buttered me up, certainly, but I loved it. So thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let's start, Drake. Let's start with you. I mean, you both have been in the business for quite a while. You're imaging experts, imaging professionals to a fault. But obviously you have skills in various other avenues of this business, like we've just talked about with video on that side. But Drake, just tell me a little bit about where you started in radio, and maybe we'll get a couple of your kind of major career bumps and stops along the way?
Well, it's pretty simple because the path has not been greater than a 150-mile radius outside my hometown. I've been very fortunate to first off jump into radio just before the deregulation and consolidation in 96. I got an internship in Pittsburgh at B94, the legendary CHR station, which God rest its soul is no longer with us. Started out there doing promotions, talked my way into the production studio, got a demo tape together, landed a on-air job in State College, Pennsylvania when I was going to Penn State University. Ended up with a full-time gig doing afternoon drive prior to graduation, so it was very anticlimactic, but was making absolutely nothing. And then within a year or two, moved on to WOMP, 100.5 WOMP FM in Wheeling, West Virginia, all the while maintaining contact with the folks back in Pittsburgh, and ended up getting part-time on B94 doing weekend overnights. From there, that led to doing traffic full-time and doing part-time on air, and then finally landing a full-time on-air slot and part-time imaging work, which then kind of made its way into being full-time in the production studio, which I've been for the last 13 years.
And same station, 13 years, same market.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much. Nice. With the addition about 6-7 years ago of Y108, the country station, which I am now the voice of. So it's really, I've been able to grow in this one market, but it's kind of been, as much as it's been a blessing, it's also been a curse in that I haven't been around. So people don't know my work. I haven't had a lot of program directors come through here, and a lot of people move on and become programmers and say, hey, Drake does good work. Let me hire him. So on that side, the freelance side has kind of been limited because not a lot of people are familiar with my work because they haven't worked with me.
I've heard your stuff, Y108, for example. I think it's excellent, I think Terry's excellent also. But we'll talk about his excellence here in a minute. So you talked about the side work in this climate. You know, if you have a gig, in a brick and mortar station, they seem to be piling on. You know, that's the way it's been for years. So you don't just do one station anymore; you do more. Have you found that? Have you had time to market yourself and go seek out extra jobs and other business, or have you been so sort of swamped down inside that you haven't really had time to do that?
Well, it's been a matter of survival as far as trying to make yourself indispensable. And that's kind of where the video thing came on board. You know, back about 3-4 years ago, as all the major radio companies were doing these large reductions in force and consolidating staffs and cutting corners even further, to be able to say, okay, well, not only do I do imaging, but I also know how to do graphic design, and I also know how to do video production, and I can operate a camera. So that, really helped me keep my day job. But at the same time then, I was still trying to get outside work, trying to make sure there was a safety net that if, God forbid, I would be let go, that I would have at least something to survive on. And so really, marketing, it's been tough. Plus, I haven't been there as far as the production skills were there, but the voiceover side hadn't fully developed. So it was me trying to find my own voice as a voice actor in order to get the gigs. And now in the last 2 years, I've gotten some pretty big markets. I've landed an agent. Things are starting to come along as I've gathered the seasoning that I've needed.
And one more on that. I like to kind of speak in real world terms whenever possible. But you're definitely, one of these guys that's, a real pro. Like I said, you've been in the station, in the market for a long time, but you are building up your own work. Give us an idea. And like you just said, it's only been a couple of years since you've been putting your focus there, but what percentage of your income, and you don't have to tell me specific numbers, but what percentage of your income comes from your outside business? Your non full-time day job work?
I'd say it's roughly about 20%, 80-20.
Okay. And that's in, like you said, a couple years, maybe a little longer. So, that's pretty good. Do you still anticipate building that? Does it affect your day job? Does the company say, hey, buddy, maybe you should ease up on doing other stuff, or are they completely supportive of you doing that?
Well, you got to pick and choose. I mean, first off, I look at everybody as a client, whether it's CBS Radio, my home stations, or it's the little mom and pop that I do in Northeast Colorado. Everybody's a client. So obviously, CBS Radio, that's the biggest chunk of my income. They get the most of my attention. So I always try to treat my clients in that same way, but try to give them superior customer service no matter what. And so lately, things have started to change where these production and voiceover clients, I may have had to start saying, okay, guys, you know, I can't really do all the production anymore. I'd still love to be your voice, but I can't handle the amount of work that you're sending me. Or I try to farm it out to a younger, hungry producer who's looking for that start that I needed 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, that's great. I've seen that more. I've had to do a little bit of that. Let's go over to Terry now. Terry, I've known you longer. Good old Terry Phillips, who has been at one of my favorite country stations in America for a really long time now. So give us a couple bullet points on your career, Terry, where you started and where you're at.
Oh, you're too kind. Well, to make the long story as short as possible, I started in high school. It was about 1988, and got an internship being a phone turkey for first the Eagle, and managed to use the fact that I spent 5 seconds at the Eagle answering phones to get a job spinning Casey Kasem off vinyl at KBUS in Paris, Texas.
Oh, good old big metropolis of Paris. Excellent. I know you're a Texas Terry.
Yeah, so that my ex-wife's hometown, as a matter of fact. And yes, I met her there. So I stayed there through college, but also did an internship my freshman year in college at KZPS, turned that into a part-time job at the sunset days of Y95, and had the just absolute luxury of being able to follow around a genius programmer like Buzz Bennett and one of the best writers in the business, Brian Wilson, and Aubrey Hayden handled the commercial production side, a true talent as well. And lived in their production rooms, and every word that and every story that Buzz would tell me soaked up like a sponge. I learned more there than I did at A&M, about radio at least. Hell, about women and life too. From there, the standard radio guy, I bounced around, being a DJ at first, from little bitty El Dorado, Arkansas, Wichita, Kansas, 5 years at Kim FM at Tucson, took a job up in Michigan to get to know my dad, and so I could get my first honest-to-goodness production director stripes, because back then no one would hire a kid to be a production director or imaging guy. Mm-hmm. Such a thing, you know, you had to be older. They wouldn't even consider it. So I signed on FBE in Flint. We were PD-less at the time, so I had a decent amount of freedom. And shortly thereafter, got hired away at YCD by CBS Radio, or at the time, Infinity. And I've been here ever since. I've added to the plate WOMC. Gosh, that was about four-ish years ago, three and a half, something like that. Added recently QYK in Tampa, great station there.
Yep.
Working with
Beecher
Martin
there, right?
And Mike Collada. Yeah, yeah.
Tell me real quick, what year did you get to YCD?
2000.
Okay, so you've had 12, almost 13 years at YCD.
Yeah.
And Drake, as we said, been there in Pitt for, what was that, 13 years or so?
Going on 96, you know, back to the very beginning.
Yeah, but I gotcha. Yeah. Terry, you're kind of a specialist on the imaging side now. You were never a jock there in Detroit, right? You were always imaging. Yeah, guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess as far as the video goes, when did that come into play? Do you do that for your station as well? Is it the same situation as Drake? Are you a multi-talented guy there, and has that helped you keep your job security?
Well, multi, for sure. Talent is questionable. The Drake and I took kind of coincidental differential paths as far as the video thing are concerned, and we were in touch and regularly talking to one another well before video thing even started for either of us.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in our building is they were looking at buying a TV commercial from a budget house and paying thousands of dollars for a spot that just looked terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, horrid, amateur, cable land. Being the creative, stubborn doofus that I am, I had Vegas and, you know, some good ideas and just was sure that, you know, I can do better than that. And I just sat down with the PD and go, listen, that looks awful. Save your money. I'll make it. And I did. And since then, I've been doing a lot of TV commercials for not just our cluster, but other stations. I did for YCD OMC, the launch of AMP, K-Hits in Chicago, and so on. And then some others freelance, some stations in Birmingham, and so on. My day-to-day is not doing video, though, where Drake handles a lot of a ton artist interviews, you know, concerts, stuff, original productions. He does far more of that than I do. I'm just kind of called on, you know, for the Hellfire. We need something flashy and fancy, and we got 30 seconds worth of trade at the local TV station.
Yeah.
Go. We fit together really well because both of us can do both sides of it very, very, very well. But I'm kind of hardened in the get the TV spot on the air, get the TV spot on the air, get the TV spot on the air. And he's far more skilled in the graphics and speciality of making this NTR function look great with opens and transitions and lower thirds. And he, again, he completely great at making TV spots himself.
Yeah.
But, you know, we complement each other perfectly.
So, Drake, tell me a little about how one gets started. You know, I want to get this to a mindset. You know, there's a ton of radio guys out there that are listening that might be imaging producers that may have a large interest in sort of doing what you guys are doing for their own, you know, little local stations. But what's the best way for somebody who basically can barely play a YouTube video to get going in the video side of you know, the business?
Well, it's funny you say YouTube because that's where I learned a lot about video production. One of the things I wanted to learn how to do was chroma key or green or blue screen. And there was a guy online, an English little person, and that was his deal. He had all kinds of tutorials about doing video, and he, with his very thick accent, he says, so you could take a sheet or a blanket or something and put it up against the wall, and then you use your chroma key software and snap your fingers, and suddenly we're in Paris. And he'd had all these photographs of different locations around the world, and he showed you how to tune it in for the particular software I was using at the time, which is Sony Vegas, which I use for both audio and video, which it's a tremendous program in that it can do pretty much everything you need to do.
Yeah, let me pause actually right there. So I'll bring up Vegas. I was going to bring up software in a little bit, but let's talk about that. I've definitely known Vegas to be a program used by audio producers and then obviously video producers. You're saying you use it for everything. Terry, is that also what you use? Is that generally both of your sort of Swiss Army knife of what you do now?
I end up spending about 50% of my time in video in Vegas. Audio, I'm an audition geek. You know, every artist has their tool. Gosh, not that I'm an artist, Christ. every production dweeb has their weapon of choice. You know, any weapon can be dangerous, and I'm most dangerous with audition with audio. But Vegas for video will do just about anything and everything the much more expensive packages can do, and nothing renders faster. So cutting apart stuff, I'm in Vegas. But the animation and the fancy swirls, I spend as much, sometimes even more time in Adobe After Effects.
Okay.
And Drake uses that too for effects
as well. Yeah, yeah. As far as that goes, you know, that's where we do a lot of the animations and so forth. But for basic video editing and, you know, if this is something that people want to get into and learn how to just do the basics of video editing, Vegas is the best tool. And you can get the Vegas Studio for under $100. So it's something that even, you know, a poor production director can just say, okay, I'll buy that out of pocket just to be able to add to the skill toolbox and to the palette of my abilities.
If we're going to talk about tools that people would need, I mean, something you can't live without to get started, and you guys mentioned a few different pieces of software, are we saying that maybe Vegas is the best place to start, or are there other...
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Both of you, Drake?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a very, very intuitive kind of software. One of the things that I love about Vegas is it has the Explorer window, which my first experience with Adobe Audition when it was CoolEdit Pro is everything had to be imported. You had to go file, import, select the file. Well, there's an Explorer window right there in Vegas, and it's been there since version one that you just go in, look at your hard drive, see all your files, preview them in real time and drag them up, both audio and video.
And people, hopefully, at this point, have seen the quality of your work. I mean, one of the reasons I'm having you on is because you guys are both, you know, real imaging pros. But also, I mean, the quality of your video work is just really good. How difficult is it to get to what you guys have done? Let's say one of the standard commercials, or I'm trying to think of an example of a video, they'll see your site and they'll see your demos and just that quality of work. How difficult or how time consuming is it to get to where you're making stuff like that?
It's a tough one to answer simply. Like anything else, you if you have a good head on your shoulders, you know all the things you don't know, and as you go along, you learn more things you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
To get started, you get a piece of software like Vegas. The studio is a competent audio editor and a great video editor for under $100. Gosh, Sony should send us a check. Anyways, but with something like that, you can start to play with it. And if you think of video editing like audio editing, except even greater of a time suck, and you invest the same time in the same way you would with audio editing and use your creativity, the visual creativity that you might put into a script or into sound effects or this, that, and the other, and into video, you'll move along rather fast. But you know, it's one of those, you're not going to run into it at full speed. You're going to have to walk and crawl a bit before you can run.
Yeah, there was a lot of trial and error, especially on my end. You know, it started out with... I didn't have a video camera, so I was manipulating still images. And Sony allows you to pan and crop and zoom and allows you to use keyframes to simulate movement. And then the other learning curve was, you know, I knew about the differences in audio compression and the MP3 codec and wave and sampling rates and so forth.
And all the audio formats, but video
and there's
formats.
A similarity in video compression, in sample rates, in... it's the same kind of thing. And, so that's another learning curve is learning, okay, how do I still maintain a high quality image, but keep the file size reasonable?
And then there's also the minutia of you have this grand idea with all of these spinning parts and flashing parts and moving parts. And as you start to realize that, you know, frame by frame, second by second, you have to make sure the right things are on top of the other things in doing this, and you start to dial down the complexity. So there's some project management in it that is not dissimilar from audio, but the minutiae you can bury yourself into if you want to cut out that logo, make it bounce, spin, and jump up and down.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you realize, maybe we'll just make it spin. Because you can, just like you can with a radio promo, you can spend, you know, 5-10 minutes on one and slap it together, or you can spend hours on it and craft it to perfection. Except with video, basically multiply that time times 10.
Okay, that's what I was about to kind of figure. That factor there, a factor of 10, audio versus video.
At least, if you're going to make something top of the line, something that is going to compete with the big boys that charge you $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 to have the rights to their TV commercial for a year, that's merely a template. That level of production takes days.
The producers.